Okay, Rabbi Isai. Regarding the Ramchal, its interesting thing is, in the year of 1732, when the controversy had erupted and has grown to much greater proportions than Ramchal expected it to, in fact, he even wrote a letter, a very strong letter to his own Rebbe. Ramchal was, of course, as mentioned many times, the Talmud of Bishaya Boson. So he writes in 1732, and actually he criticizes the Gedolim of that time. And what does he criticize them about? He criticizes them about that they have neglected the study of Kabbalah. In other words, he writes that they devote most of their time to learning Torah Hanigla, and Bechlal they have neglected to learn Torah HaKabbalah. And he writes as follows, and this is what he writes to his own Rebbe. He says, how can you abandon, he says, the innermost good? Because Kabbalah is the Pnimius HaTorah. So being that it's the Pnimius HaTorah, he says, how can you abandon the innermost good, the brightest light, the choicest portion, to satisfy, he says, your neshama, he says, with field grass? That's what you're studying. Interesting lashon, he says here, which is the plain. He says, the Shechina awaits her sons to come and lead her forth from the golus. And in order for that to happen, he says, B'nai Yisrael have to concentrate more on the innermost portion of Torah, on the penimius of Torah. And there is no one, he said, there's no one really who is until now really getting involved. And he writes to his Rebbe, what pleasure can we give, he says, the Bairi Olam, he says, with great pilpul. He says, what does Rabbi Shalom have from this? And he says, true. He says, halach is necessary for Klal Yisrael, and of course we will set aside time to learn halacha, because halacha is indispensable. But we will not, he says, we will not, cholila, devote the lion's share of our time to them. Interesting. The lion's share should not be devoted to halacha, he says. Duty, says, to our aveiros, an evil situation exists, and most of the chachamim, he says, of Klal Yisrael have already become distant from the truth to pursue, he says, that which is really, really important. And then he writes, they crave only money and covet. He condemns them with that also. We mentioned Rabbi Yecheskel Katzen Ellenbogen, who was the Baal Knesset Yecheskel, who was the Rav in Hamburg, who was recognized as one of the Gedolei HaDor of that time. As we mentioned, when Rabbi Yecheskel Katzen Ellenbogen was Nifter, the Knesset Yecheskel, he was succeeded by Rabbi Yonason Eibishitz, who became Rav in Hamburg, as a matter of fact, the triple community, which was known as Aleph Hei Vav Ehu, which was Hamburg, Wandsbek, and Altona. These were the three communities. And interestingly enough, that Rabbi Yankiv Emden lived already in Hamburg before Rabbi Yonason Eibishitz came. And when he had printed his Siddur, the Emden Siddur, Yankiv Emden Siddur, he took, of course, as comment from the Rav, Rabbi Chesel Katzen Ellenbogen. However, Rabbi Yankiv Emden didn't spare him either. And ultimately, he waged war against the Rav also, against Rabbi Chesel Katzen Ellenbogen, and ultimately, of course, when he was Nifter, then we know what happened when Rabbi Yonason Eibishitz ascended and he became the Rav there. In a letter to Rabbi Chesel Katzen Ellenbogen, so the Ramchal writes, and he draws a fateful conclusion. He says what his attitude is about the rabbinate in general, because seeing how the Rabbonim are reacting against him. And he writes as follows. It's an amazing lashon of Ramchal. It's just amazing. He writes as follows, he says. He said, there may be power, he says, among all of the chachomim, the sages of Germany and Poland. They may have power, but I have the power of the Holy One. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Shekhinah, and all the members, he says, of the Academy on High. I have the power with them, who illuminate my eyes, he says, with a divine light. And he says to them, please do not disregard my words. B'maisa, B'chetzel Kanon Boigen, he sided with the Moshe Chagis, who is a fierce opponent, as we know, in this campaign against the Ramchal, and being that Rabbi Cheskel Katzenelnboim was the chief Ashkenazic rabbi of that time, so he wielded considerable influence on the Rabbonim of Central and Eastern Europe, which he used forcefully against the Ramchal. And just to want to show you, there was a circulating letter at that time, which was against Ramchal, signed by Rabbi Cheskel Katzenelnboim, and was addressed to the rabbis of Italy, and was directed especially to the Rabbonim of Padua, which was Ramchal's own city. And Rav Cheskel Katzenelnboim, he writes that Ramchal, he says, was patently unfit for the distinctions that, if you remember, Bichil Gordon wrote about the great milus of his Rebbe, the Ramchal, and he says, he's not fit for all those madrigas, he says. And therefore, he says, the phenomenon has to be either due to a plot, he says, of the dark forces bringing out this situation, he says, or it was his young imagination, he said, Ramchal, as we know, was very, very young. And he called all of the Rabbonim of Italy to arms, and basically, I'll just read you just a few lines. He says, gather together, he says. He says, gather together, he says, and anoint, he says, your swords, your sheaths. Don't hesitate to nip this growth in the bud. He says, you must be vigilant and investigate thoroughly. If you find evil, oppress it and persecute him. And his entire group, he says, of sympathizers, and publicize it to all. If you feel constrained from doing so, if external conditions don't permit the mounting of this campaign, say, write to the Rabbonim, Rabbi Cheskel Katzenelnboim, who signed it, writes, please inform me that you can't do it. Because we have the power to gather the holy flock, he says, the wages of war, the lechemim, milchames Hashem, he said, to the company of the rabbis of Poland and Germany, and we will issue a cheirin. This is so interesting. So just to give you an idea what this man had to go through, but obviously we see that history has accepted him, you know, for the great man, in fact, that he was. And this is, to this day, until the end of time, this is the way it's going to be. So we continue, Rabbi Isai, here in Perek Sheni. In Perek Sheni, we were up to Ach HaSheni, in Yekusha Moed. Remember, the Ramchal basically posited the following situation regarding to be coined the mid of Zahiris. Ramchal pointed out that there are three major factors that stand in the way as obstacles in order to prevent a person, in order to prevent a person from being able to acquire the middah of Zahiris, awareness, vigilance. And Ramchal now, if you remember in yesterday's shir, last week's shir, there was discussed that the idea is one of the main obstacles, he says, is the fact is that people do not study Torah. Because really without the study of Torah, one cannot really amount to very much. And Ramchal, as we already expanded the details of this idea, now Ramchal goes on to point a second obstacle, a second mania that stands in the way of a person in order to be able to acquire the middah of zahiris, the middah of vigilance. And he says as follows, Ach HaSheni, he says, this second obstacle, he says, Hinei Hukoshe Miyoi, he says, is a very difficult one. The who, he says, Haschoik Vahalotzoin. Ramchal here in this segment, which is called the second segment, he condemns Litzonis, he condemns a life of ridicule, laughter, frivolity, derision, all of the situations, which means this is lack of seriousness in one's life. Schoik and Litzonis means that you take light of life. One who is involved with Schoik and Litzonis, derision and so on and so forth, laughter just for the sake of laughter. Let's understand, say it right here and now, that there's a big distinction between Simcha and between Schoik. In other words, Schoik is laughter, is the opposite of what is the life of a Yid in terms. When we say Ivdus Hashem b'simcha, a person should serve Hashem b'simcha. Simcha means is that a person should appreciate life, a person should recognize the positive aspects of life, and a person should be b'simcha when we say is not running around laughing all the time. That's not the idea of simcha. Simcha is the idea of being in a good mood of akoras atoiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the fact that he is living, for the fact that he has the opportunity to serve Hashem. That's the idea of being b'simcha. Taking life seriously and acknowledging it for the value that it has. That is what it means, simcha. Tzchaik is just the opposite. Tzchaik is making light of everything, not appreciating the true essence value. Rav Huttner points out in Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, in the Yonim of Purim, as well as the Mir Mashgiach in Sefer Das Chochem and Musar, that the idea of Latzonis per se does not mean a person walks around making jokes about everything. It's much more than that. The idea of Latzonis, loosely translated, of course, we say that it means someone basically who jokes around. But Latzonis means is he undervalues and destroys the appreciation of what is important. A person who has Latzonis means that anything of value is torn down. That doesn't mean anything. It does not attribute value to anything. The idea is that he walks around without a seriousness of what Hashem has created, understanding that there's a purpose of what is created. To be marich, to be able to appreciate everything that Hashem created was for a purpose. That is the opposite of Litzonis. Litzonis means is to dispel any essence value of what Hashem has created. And therefore it doesn't mean that you actually have to laugh out loud. When Chazal say that Litzonis achas, that one act of Litzonis is doichem meyot techochas, you can give someone rebuke 100 times, and one piece of Litzonis can destroy it, doesn't mean that you actually have to laugh. It's an attitude. The person has an attitude who is not machshiv, who does not extend importance and value, that is really what Litzonis means. Litzonis means taking light and not understanding that there is a definite positive purpose for what we are here and for everything that Hashem has created. So the Machal goes on to point out, when someone is steeped, he says, in this midah of Litzonis, of derision, he's frivolous. He says, it's similar, he says, to a person, Kimisha Tevei Abom. He says, a person really who is steeped in something of this behavior, who Kimi, it is no different than someone, Shetevei Abiyam Agodol. Imagine someone was drowning in an ocean. You can understand the danger when someone is drowning in an ocean, Shekoshim Oidah Hippolit Men. It's very difficult for a person to be able to save oneself. So he says, similar, he says, Kihine Haschoik Hu Ma'abed Islei Be'odom. To understand the damage that takes place, says the Ramchal, when someone is involved in schaik, when we say laughter, when we say cheap laughter, just mean not taking anything seriously. What it does is it destroys, he says, the heart, the feelings of the heart, the sensitivity of the heart, which means, shekvar ein hatam v'hadeya meshelesboy. It means when a person is frivolous, then one loses the ability to reason, he loses the ability of knowledge, and they no longer will rule over his heart, as he says. Which means to say that hopefully when we have tension, we have conflict in our lives between the intellect and the emotion, which the emotion, which of course is, this is the sensitivity of the heart, which draws and pulls the person in one direction. And then the person has the intelligence and he has the intellect. He knows in his mind it's wrong, but yet his emotions draw him in a different direction. And we have this constant conflict and tension between the intellect and the emotion. Hopefully, a person would be able to muster enough strength to allow his intellect, his understanding, the distinction between right and wrong, that should be ruling over him. As the Tanya mentions in a number of places, it should be Moyach Shalit Al Halev. It should be the mind. The mind should rule over the heart. One's desires draw him in one direction, but yet one's intellect discerns clearly and teaches him what is the difference between right and wrong. But if a person is involved in schaik, if he's frivolous, he's a life of laughter, lightheadedness, then he loses the ability of the intellect to be able to rule over his heart. Shekvar ein hatam v'hadeo moshelos boy. In such a situation, there's no reasoning and knowledge. All the knowledge in the world won't help him. Tarehu kishikra kishayte. Can you imagine someone who is drunk or someone who is really foolish outright? If someone was drunk, then he loses. He loses the ability. He loses the ability of analysis. He loses the ability of using. He can be a tremendous person who has a very high IQ. But if he's in a matziv, if in a situation, if he's drunk, then he loses his faculties. He's not in control of his faculties. Schaik and Litzonis is a similar situation as someone who's living a life of shikras. But the power of the intellect is no longer effective. The potency and the koyach of his seichel has been hampered due to the fact that he is involved with leitzonis, involved with schoik. Go over to someone who is drunk and try to give him all the explanations in the world and will not sink in. Kol zaman he is in this matzav. Kol zaman is the matzav of shikris. You can't give him any wisdom, you can't give him any guidance. Ki ein makabel manoga. They're not capable of receiving anoga. V'huma shoma shloima melech. And in fact, this is what Shloima HaMelech Olav HaSholem says in Kehelis. L'schoiko marti mehoilo. About laughter, says Shloima, I said that this is foolishness. U'lesimcho ma'ze yoise. And what's the purpose of just walking around, so to speak, simcha without meaning? I mean, just walking around without taking life seriously. What are you accomplishing with that? As a matter of fact, you are destroying yourself. And as a result, you want to know how far this goes, how far a person destroys himself. If a person lives a life of frivolousness, our Chachomim have told us, the Mishnah Novah is Choyk v'Kalus Roish, Margilim es Ha'odom li'Ervo. That Choyk and Kalus Roish is something, if someone lives a life of lightheadedness, Kalus Roish, derision, frivolousness, all of these are margilin es adam l'erva. It leads a person to immorality. A person wants to know what will lead him to immorality if he lives a life of schoik v'kalus roish. Now what Ramchal is saying is very important. Ramchal is telling us that even though in our minds we have been trained by birth, hopefully we have been given the right upbringing, and we have the privilege of growing up in houses and homes that have taught us the values of Torah, so no one who has given and who has that knowledge, everyone understands that immorality is not a behavior that is becoming for anybody, certainly not for a yid. And yet, as much as you'll know it, you will lose the ability to practice and to be able to avoid immorality if you live a life of schoik v'kalus roish. And Ramchal goes on to explain how this works. It doesn't make a difference, even though you know in your mind that this is forbidden for me, this is not a life for me, I'm not allowed to do it. It's something that is not part of my essence at all. I have no connection. I have no shaykhs with such behavior. It won't help you. All the knowledge in the world won't help you. Because choy v'kalus roish, as a matter of fact, margilim es odom li'ervo. Now, as Abdullah Apian and others have pointed out, it doesn't say mevi'in es odom. It brings them to ervo, to morality. Margilim means it will happen, belishim sofik. It'll be be'oifen as if he is accustomed to it. Which means it'll become common behavior. That's called margilin. And explains how that is. The chiddush of that statement, the novelty of that statement is, ki'afopi, that even though on the one hand, shechamura hi ho'er ve'etzel kol ben das, the fact is that any moral person knows the seriousness of promiscuity, he knows the seriousness of immorality. So we know it. Are we protected? No, we're not, as he points out. Even though we know this very clearly, and we'll go a step further. Not only do we know it, but the fact is that a person actually is frightened away from it. He will do what he can in order to avoid it. Being that we have been brought up over and over again, the seriousness, the onshim, the punishment. We see all the lashonis that the Torah writes. We see the graveness and the seriousness of the Isser. And we know it. Hine haschoik v'kalus roish, however, if a person lives a life of lightheadedness, mamshichim oisoi ma'at ma'at, what happened is it will pull him along little by little, umakrivim oisoi, and it brings him closer and closer, bit by bit. Holoich v'koroiv. Gradually it brings him all closer. Shetieh ha'yira sora me'olov. Where he loses his yira, he loses his fear. Ma'at ma'at. Madrega acha madrega, step by step. Achiagia el ho'oven atzmevoi ve'aseyu. What it means very simply, this is similar to what Chazal have told us. Where the Yetzer Hara works in order to be able to be machshel a person in the most serious of Averis, he's not going to come straight to the most serious Averis. What he's going to do is try to get his foot into the door, as the Gemara tells us, that the way the Yetzer Hara works with a person is that first he comes in as an Areach, he comes in as a guest, He gets his first foot to the door, and then ultimately, once you allow him in, the end of the day, he becomes the balabais, he becomes the host, and you become the guest. He takes control over you. And this is the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu created all of our instincts, our natural instincts and desires, as Rabbi Victor Miller points out. These are supposed to be our servants, loyal servants, to serve us. Because all of the basic desires that were created in mankind, if they are utilized the right way, they are very beneficial. However, the exact same instincts, the exact same desires, if they are not being controlled, then they are the most destructive. The purpose of these, of all of these basic instincts of human nature, were created in the fact that they should serve us, and therefore we should rule over them. But ultimately, unfortunately, in most cases, it is the opposite. That they rule over us, and we become servants. We become avodim, to our own taivis and to our own desires. And the way it works is little by little, inch by inch, says the Ramchal. If a person does not live a life of seriousness, if a person does not live a life of, which is the opposite of tzchoik, and we'll explain what that is, the opposite of tzchoik, because you see here, this is a Mishnah. In Ovos, that Ramchal points out, tzchoik bekalas roish margilim esodom liyervo. In context, what that Mishnah is, the Mishnah gives us a series of other things, where it talks about siyogim, gidorim, that a person should make various fences in order to protect himself from falling off the cliff. And Rabbi Yoina says, the truth is, he says, the opposite of tzchoik bekalas roish. Tzchoik v'kalas roish is margilin esodom liyervo, says Rabbeinu Yoyin, clearly in Masech Tesovis, he says, if tzchoik and kalas roish bring a person to ervo, so it's obvious that the hepech is koivad roish and yiro. Koivad roish is the opposite of what? Of kalas roish. And tzchoik that we have on the one side is the opposite of yiro. So what a person, in fact, what he needs is yiro, he needs yiro shemayim, right? The fear of Hashem, to stand in awe before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also to have koivad roish. Koivad roish, of course, is to have a very serious mind of what his purpose in life is. And, interestingly enough, as the great Meforshim have pointed out, when we say, Miraboisai, midvar sheker tirchok, that a person should distance himself from sheker, very fascinating, Raboisai. Sheker is rosh tevis, choik, and kalus roish. That these are items that tirchok. It's not merely enough to abstain. It's not merely enough that you don't do it. You have to distance yourself from these things. You have to step away. And someone knows that there's a dangerous area, right? You see signs that says, beware, right? Beware. Whatever the situation is. Don't come too close. Imagine if you have a cliff and there's no fence. You're not going to walk over between the last 5 inches up to that cliff. It's very dangerous. A person who is an astute mind, a person who has a little bit of intelligence, will stay a couple of feet away. You know how dangerous it is. Tzchoik v'kalas roish is dangerous. And therefore, midvar sheker tirchok means from tzchoik and kalas roish tirchok, distance yourself, stay away from the situation. Says Ramchal now further. V'kol kach loma. Says Ramchal, why is this so? As he points out, why is this so dangerous? How does this work? He wants to explain the mechanics of how tzchoik v'kalas roish, how it works to be so dangerous. He says, Ramchal v'kol kach koma loma, lefi shekemoi shekol metzias has hirus. We're talking now again. This is the second item that Ramchal points out stands in the way of being koyin in the middle of zehirus. Because what is the inyan of zehirus? The middle of zehirus, to be aware. Awareness is something that is focused on the lave. The lave has to be open. The lave has to be open in order to be able to be koine, to acquire the middah of vigilance and to acquire the middah of zahiris. Shekol metzias ha-zahiris toli besimis ha-lave al-adover. If you're able to focus and be aware of what's going on in your life, then of course you're going to have zahiris. Tzchoik v'kalas roish blinds your eyes. Not to be aware, not to read the signs, not to recognize in what direction you are going. That's just the opposite. Midas Azhiris, to be effective in Midas Azhiris. To be koyin in Midas Azhiris, it's totally in the lave being receptive. But if you do something to block the message, that the lev should not be able to absorb it. And that is chayk. Chayk is something that is meisim in halev, min ha-machshavos, meisir halev, min ha-machshavos, ha-yishores, ha-yunis, niyos. It does not allow the lev to have clear thoughts and to analyze the situation appropriately. The nimtzon, therefore, shlo yevoyu hirhure ha-yiru b'libe klal. And therefore they will never find a way into its heart. And as one of the Bala Musa pointed out, also mentioned in a sefer called Pikayin, who points out, says very seriously, he says, you know, Schoiv Kalasresh is so dangerous because being that, Ramchal is telling us, because in order to be successful in one's career of Avodas Hashem, the lev has to be able to absorb the right messages. Schoiv Kalasresh, he says, does not allow the lev to think clearly. So one of the Bala Musa points out, Ponim has mentioned the sefer Pikayin, he says, imagine if you have a bucket which is filled with an enormous amount of good things. You don't necessarily have to empty the bucket, which may be a task. All you have to do is make a little hole in the bucket, and all of it will just run out. All will just run out by itself. What Tzchoy B'Kalas Rosh does is it makes a hole in the lev. So any of the messages that the lev has attempted to receive just don't remain there. That's why Tzchoy B'Kalas Rosh is so dangerous. Because it's able to cause a hole and to cause that puncture, to pierce the lathe, so mail all the information is just going to leave you. It's just going to run out. That's very dangerous. If you're able to pierce, you're able to damage, and the mail all of it is going to be lost in the mail. So you don't have to go to a great deal. Empty it out, turn it over. You don't have to exert that much pressure. All you have to do is make a little bit of a hole. That is the power of Chayk V'Kalasroish in its attitude to the lathe. The damage, just to make that little hole, that puncture. As a result, the lev is not able to absorb all of the messages, the appropriate messages, and the right messages. And he goes on further. And he says, I want to explain to you. I want to explain to you that you understand, Kishi halotzoin vashchososoi, he says, horabo. I want you to understand how it works, why, he says, derision, he says, and frivolity, why it's so dangerous and how it is so destructive. Why it has this negative influence. And I'll explain to you as follows, says Ramchal. I want you to compare it to a shield. A person has a shield. The purpose of the shield, of course, is to deflect any arrows that is being shot at the person. That is the purpose of a shield. So when you have a shield, hamishur b'shemen, when you have a shield that is smeared with oil, asher yashmit v'yapil me'olav achitzim u'mashlichem le'oretz, which basically it will deflect all of the arrows, throwing them aside and flinging them to the ground, v'la'niach oisam she'agiu al guf odom, and thereby it will prevent all of those arrows from reaching the body of a person. In the same way that the shield stands as a blocker and as a barrier to protect and in order to deflect all of the arrows, Tzchoik V'Kalas Roish stands as a spiritual shield against anything spiritual, to block anything spiritual that comes into your heart. That's the same way. When a person has Tzchoik V'Kalas Roish, when you live a life of lightheadedness, it operates in the same way against Musar, against rebuke, and against a person's conscience. All you need is a little bit of a joke, a little bit of a comment. All you need is a derisive comment. He says, you can give a person a tremendous, tremendous musashmus. You can give a person tremendous sheer that will motivate him. All you have to do is somebody just makes one negative type of a comment, or a frivolous comment, and just makes a laughter, a little bit of a joke out of it. And it can destroy hours of positive influence. That's all it takes to destroy that atmosphere. Says all of the positive spiritual awakening and inspiration that the lev has received midirayosoy because it saw certain things, positive things. A person experiences situations that actually motivate him to turn to Hashem, to do the right thing. But now, in the middle, comes a piece of letzonus, comes a piece of derision, a piece of lightheadedness, a piece of mockery. ובכוח הלצונס יפיל הכל ליורץ ולייסה בירושם כלל. All of a sudden, all of it is thrown to the ground without leaving any impression whatsoever. ולוי מפני חלושה סוניונם. And don't think that the reason he lost it all, because they weren't strong in the first place. A person might think that if the message would be strong enough, it would stay. It's not true, says Ramchal. You could have the most powerful message that you can hear, and maybe for a moment it would have made a tremendous impression on you. But if right in the middle a piece of letzonus and a piece of schoik in kalas roish comes your way, it destroys even the most powerful of messages, as he says. It's not the chulsha sinyonim. It's not the weakness of the ideas, v'loim ipne chesroin chavonus alev. It's not because you never absorbed it. Al mipne koyach halotzoin, ha-hoyres kol inyona ha-musar v'ha-yiro. It destroys literally any standard of fear of Hashem. V'hine ha-novi Yishaya hoya tzodeyach al-zeki kruchir. As a matter of fact, on this nekuda, the Novi Yishaya, he cried out. He cried out, he squawked like a crane. It's an expression. By the way, it's very interesting. You open up a Tanakh, right, and you see all the prokim in Yishaya. How do you know which one he's yelling and which one he's saying calmly? This is the Koyach Ramchal. You can look at a posik, and you can hear the sound of the Novi. The next posik, the Novi is saying. But certain psukim, which are printed equally the same, Ramchal says he's not just saying that posik, he is crying, and he's screaming. He's squawking like a crane, he says, because it's so important. And this is the posik, that Ramchal hears the sound, he hears the echo of the voice of the Novi. He's able to discern that. He's able to gauge, to recognize the sensitivity of how the Novi is saying it. He says, go yoroye, because the Novi saw shizeho yomash lo yiminiach mokel metoche choysof, shiyas roshim. The Novi realized, why is it that the people aren't absorbing my message? The prophet is talking over and over again. Why is it not working? He sees what's happening. He sees that there's something that is denying all of these sinners from doing tshuva. What is that? What is that item that causes so much destruction, that serves as a barrier from receiving the message? That's what the Novi says. V'ato al tisloitzitzu. Ramchal says the Novi is not saying it. He's soiveach kikruchio. Ramchal hears him squawking like a crane. Soiveach kikruchio. V'ato al tisloitzitzu. Don't ridicule, says the Novi. Don't ridicule. Pen yechesku mois reichem. Because otherwise, ultimately, is going to intensify your suffering. In other words, if a person does not become motivated, schoik v'kalas roish stands in the way. Hashem sends many, many messages our way. And these messages are supposed to serve as positive influences in our lives to bring us to tshuva. So what's the next step if we don't get the message? Says Ramchal kvar gozru. Omer Chachomim, he says, the Chachomim already have told us Shahalates maybe hayisurim olov. A person who scorns invites suffering upon himself. V'huma shakosov atzamoy mevayer b'tirish. And that's what the posik says in Mishle. The posik says in Mishle, nochoinu leleitzim shifotim. The posik says that someone who scorns, you know what awaits him? Punishment. Shaiftim. Punishment awaits a person who scorns. Kizehu dovar shadin noise noisei, because that's something, says Ramchal, that the seichel dictates. Kima kimishem is spoil min hazboynus min alamudim, because if in fact if you would have been inspired, and if you would have reflected from all of the learning and from all that you've been taught, then that would have served the purpose, he says. And it's arch is yase begufo, it's not necessary that you should have to suffer physically. He says, "Ki kvar yoshuv mechatoisav belize," because you already would have done tshuva without that. Mikoyach iruhuri tshuva, because of the thoughts of tshuva that have come your way. Sheyivoldu b'levavoy al yedei ma sheyikro, either because of things that you have read that have motivated you, or sheyishma amun musarim atachochos, or have you heard the various messages of rebuke and from great people who have told you what is right. On the other hand, haleitzim, the people who scorn, they make light, they laugh it off. They laugh it off. She'ena mispoalim na toichochos mipne koyach leitzunosom. So therefore, they're not impressed by all of the positive messages. Ein lam tikkun. Therefore, there's no solution for them. Elash fotim. The only thing is, therefore, is punishment. That's the only way, hopefully, that will bring them to the senses. She'ela lo yikoyach leitzunosom utchosom aleim. Because here, all the jokes don't work. Pain is not removed by any of the litzonis. Litzonis will not remove it. Kozman, things go your way, so you have a lot of time for schoik v'kalasroif, to scorn, and to live a life of derision, to the life of frivolity, and so on and so forth. But once you have pain, once it hurts, then the truth emerges, he says. He says, Kashi yitchu ha-musarim, he says. The way he says that they can be warded off, yisurim can be warded off by admonishment, by musar, by rebuke. And it runs hand in hand, measure for measure. The severity of the punishment, as we know, is determined by Kodesh Baruch Hu in accordance with the seriousness of the Avera, right, and its consequences. He says, Hichmir HaShoifet HuAmiti, the true judge Hashem, B'yonshoi, B'hu Ma'ashilim Duni, Zichroinim Levrocha, Kosha HaLitzonos. Litzonos, he says, scorn is very, very, he says, is a difficult, it's a terrible burden to bear. Shetchilosa Yisurim, it starts with Yisurim, but it doesn't even end there. Because ultimately, if you don't get the message even with Yisurim, the soifoi kloyo, the end result is annihilation, destruction. Shenema, as the Novi again says, v'nichesku moisrechem, because if your suffering will not do the trick, it will be intensified, yichesku. Then even your Yisurim become even more intensified. He says, ki kol oven achrotzo shomati, because I've heard annihilation and being cut out from this life. Reb Chaim Shmulevitch says many, many times in his Shmusin, he says, that the word Yisurim, the Shoyrish of Yisurim, is from the word Musar. He says, Yisurim is very, very valuable. As a matter of fact, we say that when the great Reb Lezer, he became sick, and the various Talmidim, the Gemara says, Sanhedrin came to be Mevaker Choyle, and each one said the great things, Rebbe, you are so great to us, you can't leave us. Toivata Yisrael, Yosem Shemayim V'yoretz, you are greater. You are greater and more important, he says, than heaven and earth. And another one said, you are even more important than Ma'av Eim, than the father and the mother, and so on and so forth. And then Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Chavivin Yisurim. Chavivin Yisurim. Yisurim is a good thing. Rabbi said, what kind of a thing? Don't try this next time. You're going to be Mavaka Chayla, somebody said. It's a good thing. Yisurim is a good thing. Don't try this one. What kind of a Mavaka Chayla is this? Rabbi Kiva is saying, Rabbi Chavivin Yisurim. What does that mean? Rabbi Chaim says, Reb Lezer was sick. Shemayim was threatening to remove him from this world. So each of the Tanoim, Talmidim, were trying to make a case in Shemayim that he can't leave. How do you make a case? By showing and trying to impress upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is needed on this world. If we can successfully convince the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that our Rebbe is needed on this world, he will leave it. So what did each Tana do? Each one said, Rebbe, you are most important than heaven and earth. Without heaven and earth, there's no world. You are most important. You are more important. The world needs you. Rebbe, you are more important than a father and a mother. Just as a father and mother, of course, is vital. Cholila, otherwise, child is a yosin. You are more important than a father and a mother. Each one is making a case. So what's Rabbi Kiva's case? Rabbi Kiva is also making a case. He's making a phenomenal case. Rebbe, Chaviv, and Yisurin. What does that mean? And people have asked me this question many, many times. We don't always have the answers. What Rabbi Kiva is saying, Rebbe, as important you are, we need you for so many things that we need you. But more than anything that we need a Rebbe, you know for what purpose? To tell us the reason and the purpose of our suffering. People are suffering. And they would like to know what is the message of Min HaShemayim. We don't have Nevi'im today. We don't have Nevi'im to tell us exactly why these sorrows are happening. We can only try to guess, we can surmise. If you need a Rebbe for anything, more than anything, what you need a Rebbe is to tell you the purpose of the Yisurim. Yisurim from the Lashon of Musar. And only very important, great people, unique people, Yechides Gula, have the ability to be able to read the messages that are being sent from the Shemayim. Rebbe, Chavivin Yisurim. Not he means your Yisurim are Chavivin. That's not what he meant. That's not what you say to a Rebbe. Rebbe, Yisurim is so important, and we need you to tell us what Hashem wants from us. That's what he meant. We need you, a Rebbe, to define what Yisurim is all about. Why did Hashem send this particular? Why did he send this? Why is he sending this? Why is this happening? The klal of the prat in all of the situations. And that's what Ramchal is telling us. That Yisurim should serve, in fact, as a wake-up call. So in one word, Rabbi Yisai, what Litzonis is, and really, this is exactly the opposite what Ramchal said in the very first line in the Mesilas Yeshorim. In the very first line of Mesilas Yeshorim, it's pointed out in the Sefer also by Mesilo Nalo. In the very first line of Mesilas Yeshorim, you know what Ramchal said? That Yisoid HaChasir Sidis, V'Shoirish V'Avoidot. Right? That Shizbara V'Yisame is that it should become very clear, right? To a person, Ma'achoy V'osoy Be'olomoy. This is the basic line, this is the basic key. This is the Yisoid. In other words, you can't build a house without a Yisoid. You can't build a life of your Shemaim if you don't have a foundation. You can do all that you'd like, you can put in all of the effort, all of the koiches, but if you don't have the foundation, then it's going to be fruitless. What's the foundation? Before you become to build your life, to build your life of your Shemaim, you have to Yisoid. Yisoid HaChasidus. What Yisoid HaChasidus is? You have to know and define what your goals are. You have to know that there's a chayv. You're not here for a free ride. As Rav Pian said, when a person leaves this world, he says, and he enjoyed himself, hopefully a little bit, right? He thought he enjoyed himself. He says, this world is a very expensive hotel. There's a bill that you're going to be charged for. Very expensive hotel. And it's going to be an itemized bill. All of the things that you took from this world, and there was no payback, it's going to be a cheshbon for that. It's an expensive situation here. It's not a free ride. You have to know it's choyvoso be'olomoy. You have to know that there is a choyv. Life is here for a purpose. You have a chrayis. You have a mission to carry out. Letzonis raboisai is the opposite of that knowledge. There's no choyv. It's free for all. That's what letzonis is. Letzonis doesn't mean going laughing necessarily, going laughing. It's an attitude. It's an attitude, as we pointed out from the Pachad Yitzchok, pointed out from the Mir Mashgiach. It's taking away the value of what really is valuable. It's tearing down things that are truly important and saying it doesn't make a difference. That's what Letzonis is. It takes away the idea she is ames to come to the true knowledge. There's no chayv belomoy. Lightheadedness. That's the idea of Letzonis. That's what it means. So we have to take a look here, Rabbi Yisai, and I want you to take a look here. Let's take a look what we have on the sheet. From Rabbi Leib Chassman, Sefer Or Yohel and Parshas Korach. Leib Chassman, famous Mashgiach, he writes as follows. Omru Chazal, Zeh Shomer HaKosif, Asher Hawish, Asher Holach Batzas Rishoyim, Ibderach HaToyim Leyomad, the first capital in Tehillim, who is it referring to? The person who did not, right, who does not sit b'moishav leitzim amongst corners. B'moishav leitzim lo yoshav. Who is this person? Zekoyrach shoy misloitzis al moishav e'aharim. In other words, not to be like them. This is the opposite of the hanhogi of Koyrach. Koyrach scorned moishav e'aharim. Ma also, what did he do? Kines aleim kol akol, he brought the whole entire congregation upon them. V'hischeloim alifneim divri litzonis. What do you see from that chazal? Harei shekol koichai shel koirach liftois es roshei ha'om. The fact that Koirach was so successful in being able to draw the great people, so many great people, leaders of the community, lohoi alimipnei shes loitzeitz al moishe v'haroi. In other words, Rabbi Yisai, this was not a meeting of the minds, this is not an intellectual debate. People think that Koirach somehow came up with some strong arguments in order to convince the people against Moshe. From Chazal we see it was not a matter of seichel. That's the koich of leitzonis. That's the koich of derision, ridicule. If you come along sometimes with ridicule, you can tear down the most intellectually sound axiom. Doesn't make a difference what it is. The koyach of koyach umino, and therefore what we draw to the conclusion, ma otzum koyach tumas alitzonis. Because your koyach pikeach hoyo. Because koyach taka was smart. Don't think that koyach was not smart enough to debate. Koyach was a pikeach. But you know what? He knew that in the arena of public debate, he knew he would lose. Because as far as Seichel is concerned, he knew he couldn't fight Moshe Rabbeinu. That also part of his pikeches. Part of his pikeches is that he knew that in the area of Seichel, there's no way to fight against Moshe. That's also part of his pikeches. He knew that Bishvil, Havikuach, Layuchel Heviyam, he said, Limroid. Vikuach, debate would not bring them to rebel. Shebevilchomes HaSeichel im HaSeichel Vadai Ein Shum Mevoi Shekoyach Yenatzeich Neged Moshe. If we have battled the intellect, if we mind against mind, Seichel against Seichel, Koyach knew he has no case. The Lama also, what was his ammunition therefore? What's his ammunition? Eze Kli Neshek. Hifil Koyach B'Milchemes B'Milcham Toizu Halitonus Kloimer Shtus V'Hevel. That's all it was. With Shtus V'Hevel you can tear down the most strong and the mightiest of people. With Shtus V'Hevel. That's the Koyach of Shtus V'Hevel. One piece of letzonis can merely dispel and destroy 100 reproofs and rebukes. He says, "Havikuach." He says, "Bahaseichel v'das imkach imkach." He says, "Toychoch." Of course, rebuke has to do with seichel, explaining a person: if you do this, these are the consequences. If you do this, these are the consequences. Letzonis is simply iritzinus. Not at all being serious, making light of the most serious of situations. That's from the animal part of us. The animal part of us is no different than any other animal. What defines the human being from the animal world is the seichel, is his intellect. But there's the animal portion, there's the animal chelik. Litzonos is the product of the animal chelik. It's not the product of the seichel, he says. Therefore, if a person uses litzonos, he says, what he did is now he puts the animal portion, he puts it on the table, he takes the animal portion with himself and places it in the table, and that becomes now his guiding light, and he's directed by that. Umilo Yovin, who doesn't understand, if a person basically is now being guided by his animal portion, try to explain his logic to a behemoth. In other words, he himself is now conducting himself in the form of a behemoth. Because it's chelik habahami. It's chelik habahami now has become put to the forefront. The vorem sheish b'mishum chochma v'das. You can't explain that to behemoth. L'chein litzon esachas doye doyche meyo min esechel. It's doyche all that. V'inim b'machloikis zu nenshu b'nei Yisroel. As we know, the b'nei Yisroel, because of this machloikis, were punished b'gimel onshin chamurim. Three major onshin. B'lue de koirach, number one, that koirach, right, his family was swallowed up. Sruve de koirach, then we had those people that basically were consumed by fire. And then we had the Hanegev Biyom, then we had the Magefa, we had the plague, where many of the other people died as well. What do we find after all that? After koirach was swallowed up, and after so on and so forth, when all of the three different types of punishments took place, the Torah tells us that I'm going to prove that Aharon HaKohen, that he's the true Kohen. If you remember what was the situation, that was the situation with the matah, with the stick. What happened was, the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, matah matah lebeisov, v'hoyo ish asher evchar boy, the person whom I choose, automatically a miracle will happen, that mateo yifroch, that his stick, right, will begin to blossom. V'chein hoyo, and this is the way it happened, shekol Yisrael yoshnu lehem bebeisom b'menuche, all the Eden went back to sleep at home, right? They went back on the beds. The next morning they come up, and they take a look at all the sticks. The only stick that blossom, ulamachros porach mata haroim, vayoytze perach, vayoytze tzitz, and it blossomed. Vayiru vayikhush mateo, and everybody went and took back their sticks. They saw, now they saw clearly an indication of Mina Shemaim. What did they see? They saw Mina Shemaim. They saw who in fact is the truly chosen one by Hashem. So there's a push to kasha. If Hashem ultimately makes a miracle to show that Aharon is chosen, why did Hashem wait till the end? Why didn't Hashem, in the heat of the machlokes, Hashem should say, you know what? Okay. He says, let's have a showdown. Let all of you put your matis, right? Let all you put your matis out, and let's see whose matis is going to blossom. And we'll prove once and for all who is the one that is the chosen one. Why did Hashem first wait three different types of punishments? people being swallowed up, people being burnt, and then people dying by the plague. Afterward, Hashem says, we're going to do the Nes of the Matir. Yeshu is Bainin. For Hashem is Baruch is a Rachum V'chanun. Why did he first exert punishment? Erchapayim. They would have seen clearly that Hashem chose the Aharon HaKohen. And that would calm the storm. Right, as we see later. Ultimately, of course, everything calmed. Why did he punish him first? And the Bnei Yisrael were smitten. Right? Was smitten as a reed, becomes destroyed in the water. What do you think his answer is? His answer is, and he brings this Ramchal. You can see it by yourselves, because we want to move on a little bit. He says, Ramchal tells us, the koyach and the force of destruction of Litzonus. Litzonus is something that is able to convince, he says, and it's able to rule out and to blot out intelligence and intellect. When seichel against seichel doesn't work, what did Koyrach use? Koyrach used Leitzonis. Leitzonis achas is doche meir techochos. But the Bleib Chasm says something incredible. When a person is involved in a life of Leitzonis, you can show him a miracle and he doesn't see the truth. It won't help. Kozman, he says, a person doesn't change his attitude. He's not interested. It's like somebody said, right? Don't convince me with the facts. I've made up my mind. Not interested. That is the Koyrach of Leitzonis. The Leitzonis Achas is doyim meir techochos. So you can even show Nisim, you can show. It doesn't make a difference. The koyach of Leitzonis is to blot out and to cloud the mind. And blind the eye. Not to be able to see truth. That is the strength. That is the power of derision. That is the power of ridicule. So it was only afterwards. First they were all punished. That basically jolted them, brought them back to their senses. Now we have people with an open mind. Now we're able truly to show them. To show them the truth. Interesting thing is that he brings the Or Yohel of the Chaskim brought down the Moshev Leitzim Lo Yoshev. He brings down the Posek in Tehillim that Asher Uishu does not sing among scorners. The Moshev Leitzim Lo Yoshev does not sit among scorners. The Sefer, it's called Chelik Loilam Habo from Shol Brach, my father's Rebbe, so he brings out and he says, very interesting. He says that the power of Litzonis goes even further. He says, Ube Moishav Leitzim Lo Yoshav. So he says, you know what it means? Hakavona She'ein HaLeitzim Shom. It doesn't mean that you're sitting among Leitzim, that the Leitzim are actually there now. It doesn't even mean that. Vakshehoyo Dorim Shom Mekoidim. Leitzim lived there before. Mekomokoim Gam Mekoimom. Their Mokim, their place. Shechotu Mazig LaHanefesh. In other words, a place that harbored Leitzonis, there's a koyach of tumah that rests on that mokim. As a result, subsequently, even later, when righteous people come there, they become affected by the roshim, by the impression left on that place. It is like someone who has a disease, a physical disease, right? And he sits, or he lives in a place. So now what happens is, ultimately, the area becomes polluted with all kinds of bacteria, right? People get sick from hospitals too, because all the bacteria that's around there. Now we know about such things. Years ago we didn't know about these things. We know about these things. You don't have to see the damage physically with your eyes, the things that cause the damage, but we know it's there. They're spiritual bacteria. So pointed out Rav Eli Lapian in a Shmuz. They're spiritual bacteria. You can't see it. And therefore in a place where there was Moshe of Leitzim, so now there is the spiritual bacteria of these Leitzim. In that mokim, which could have a negative effect even to people who come there later. So b'moishav leitzim loyasha means, in a place where leitzim sat there, loyasha, you don't sit there. A place that was the moishav leitzim. Means the mokim where leitzim sat, the moishav of leitzim. You, not only you don't sit among leitzim, but you're not even sitting in a moishav leitzim, in a place where leitzim were there before. That is the chiddush. And he brings down, he says, from a sefer yetiv ponim. Sefer Yetiv Ponim is from the Yetiv Lev, the Zaydiv in the Sat Meruv. He brings, Shesipeloi Zekeinoi Hagoyin HaKodesh Baal Yismach Moshe. He said, the Sefer Yetiv Ponim brings that his grandfather, the Yismach Moshe, told him, Shebeis Shehoye Av Bezen Tekele Kedosh Shinever. We know the Shinever Ruv, Reb Cheskel Shinever, who was the son of the Divrei Chaim. Yismach Moshe was later, he's known, he was the Reuven Ihel, right in Hungary. But prior to that, he was a Rav in Shinyevin. Yismach Moshe was also a Rav in Shinyevin. The Rebbe Shmelke of Nikolsburg, the great Rebbe Shmelke of Nikolsburg, before he became the Rav of Nikolsburg, he was also a Rav in Shinyevin. But he was the Rav in Shinyevin before the Yismach Moshe. The Yismach Moshe says that Bishas, when he was the rabbi of Shinyevin, Hoy mispalo be Beis HaMedrash, he used to daven the Beis HaMedrash, Hoy mispalo boy Hagoyin HaKodesh, Reb Shmelke, Shoye Rav, who was the Rav over there in Shinyevin, Terem Niskabel Lekila Kedosh in Nikolsburg, before he was accepted as the Rav in Nikolsburg. Says Yismach Moshe, when I daven in the shul of Reb Shmelke, Piso in Beleil Shabbos Kodesh, all of a sudden, he says, on a Friday night, Zocho lebechinas yira b'pachat, all of a sudden, he did not understand, unexplained. He was filled with a tremendous amount of yira b'pachat, he said, that lasted the entire week. With a tremendous yira shemayim. V'yachekar b'leil Shabbos Kodesh, and then with the next Shabbos Kodesh, the next Friday night, he was filled with such ahava, he says. He felt such ahava as Hashem, where his heart was so attracted and cleaving to Hashem. But Yodati, he said, I understood. Ki ein ze mikoichi, this is not my madrega, he says. This is Yismach Moshe said that. Yismach Moshe says. Rak metziya matzosi. I found that metziya, it came to me. Me'eis hagoyin hakodesh, he says, Rebbe Shmelke, shehishir shom brocha. So it works both in the negative and on the positive as well. If a person sits in a mokim where there is Moshe v'leitzim, stay away from that place. Don't go there. Even though v'leitzim not there anymore. Because it has an effect on the mokim. It's a very frightening idea. Where are you going to walk? Where are you going to go around here? This world, wherever you walk around here. But at least if you do know of a mokim, that was a mokim that had a certain situation taking place over there, if you can avoid it, avoid it. These are the situations. This is the idea of a Moshe v'leitzim lo yoshov. As a matter of fact, when it comes to Moshe v'leitzim, I just want to tell you, who could say it better than the Rambam himself? And I want to tell you a lotion of the Rambam. He tells you how this works. It's exactly like Ramchal pointed out, Ramchal although doesn't bring this Rambam, how Moshe v'leitzim, or Litzonis as it works, little by little, to explain what the Mishnah said, that's choyk v'kal, it's roish margilin, it's odim even le'ervo. How does it work? Because little by little, it keeps tearing you down more and more, step by step, until you're going to do the worst things that, a while back, it was unimaginable. The first thing for your mind, I would never be able to stoop so low and fall so low. But ultimately you can. And Rambam says the following lotion at the end of Hilchos Tumas Saras, in Perek Tezayin. He says in Musa Haskel, he says, V'zeh derech yeshivas haleitzim rishoyim. He says, this is the way, he says, that rishoyim work. B'tchil amarbim b'divra havoy. First of all, they simply talk nonsense, he says. Don't talk nonsense. No, it might be innocent, let's call it. It's nonsense. Nonsense. This is the way they start. Shenemar the posuk in Koheles v'koil kisil b'roiv devarim, words of nonsense. So that is how it starts out. Metoyach kach, but where does nonsense lead? With nonsense lead, he says, because your worlds are not controlled. Ultimately, what it comes down is they speak. Metoyach kach says the Rambam boin l'saper b'ginus hatzadikim. You hear what the Rambam says? From speaking words of nonsense, it's not going to stop there. You're going to actually speak Lashon Hara against Tzaddikim. And you're going to begin to tear down the righteous people of the generation. And you're going to speak ill about them. And when you see great people and you know about great people, and you can try to find fault, and you can say negative things about them, that's what happens, that's the consequence of Dvarim B'Teilim. And then, Mitoch Kach, and what follows from there, if you're already able to speak B'Ginus HaTzaddikim, says the Rambam, Yelam Hergel Adavir, he says, B'Neviim. Then you can speak even against prophets. You speak against Nevi'im. He says, Shenema, the Pesuk says in Divrayomim, Ve'yihu ma'alivim, he said, B'malachi Elohim, that they are actually mocking even angels of Hashem, Nevi'im, prophets. These are like angels of Hashem. And then he says, and you know what the next step is? If you're speaking against Tzaddikim, and you're speaking against Nevi'im, speaking against prophets, the next thing is, you can speak against Hashem also. Because speaking can be a koifer be'ikar, he says. You're going to deny. You can deny the one and only. You're going to deny you're the creator. v'koyfrim be'ikar. So this is the upshot. When you talk about leitzim, you talk about letzonis, schoit v'kalas roish, margin l'sodim l'yerva, but there is much more in that package. It's enough, margin l'sodim l'yerva, but can lead a person even the situation, can lead a person even to a situation where it leads them to a situation of, as you say, to be a koyfer be'ikar. It's pointed out that the Rebbe Baruch of Mezhibish, it says that one of the Shabbosim in his travels, he ended up in a particular mokim, and as much as he tried, he was not able to say a Dvar Torah. A word of Torah couldn't come out of his mouth, and he didn't understand why. So the Rebbe Baruch, if you know, was an einikel of the Baal Shem Tov. His mother was the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Rebbe Baruch said, it has to be, he says, because in this house, he says, an Odom Rosha must have lived there before. And being that an Odom Rosha must have lived there before, therefore it has this effect on me today that I'm not able to say a Dvar Torah. And he said a beautiful pshat in a posik, in the Zmiris. We say in the Zmiris, in Shabbos, what do we say? The Roish Novi Ve'ulami. You know how he touched the word? It says, the Roish Novi, search and find out the dwelling. Who is living here? Ve'ulami, it'll explain the reason why I'm an ilayim, why I'm a mute, why my mouth doesn't open up. The Roish Novi, find out who is living here, who is dwelling here. And then ve'ulami, this will explain to you, says, the siba of the being an ilayim, the siba of not being able to open up the mouth. So what do you say? Letzonis has been something that Klal Yisrael had to deal with. And it's an ironic situation. When we talk about Koyrach, we just learned about Koyrach. That Chazal, as Rabbi Chasson brought down in the Yor Yohel, and we conclude with this. He says that the whole machloik of Koyrach was not Seichel against Seichel. He knew. He has no chance if he tries with Seichel. It was through the Koyrach of Letzonis. The Moshev Leitzim Lo Yoshev. That was Koyrach. It's a funny thing that Moshe Rabbeinu always had to suffer from Leitzonim. It didn't start with Koyrach. Where else was Moshe Rabbeinu the subject of scorners and Leitzonim? Let me remind you, Eile Pikuda HaMishkon, Moshe Rabbeinu had to make an accounting of all of the contributions and all of the donations that were brought to the Mishkon. Why was it necessary to count it? Whatever you have and use it to build the Mishkon. Why was it necessary to take an accounting? Who asked for the accounting? Hashem didn't ask for the accounting. Who asked for the accounting? Eile Pikuda HaMishkon, Mishkon Oedis. Says the Medrash, V'loma Oso Moshe Imoim Cheshbon. Lashon of the Medrash. Why didn't Moshe make a Cheshbon? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisbarach Maminoi. Listen to this. Hashem trusts him. Hashem says, Loikein Avdi Moshe Ki Bechol Beisi Nemon Hu. Hashem gave him a diploma. Look at the diploma Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a Nemon. If you're looking for a Neman, Moshe Rabbeinu has it. He has it. Phi Beta Kappa Neman. Highest degree. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Neman to the highest degree. So Hashem says he's a Neman. So who is asking for an accounting? Says the Medrash, V'loma Omele Moshe Boyu V'nasoik, he says, V'nachshev Cheshboim, Elish Yishoma Moshe Litzane Yisrael. Moshe heard the scorners and the mockers of the Bnei Yisrael, Medabrim speaking behind his back. Shenemar, V'hoyo kiboy Moshe ho'oyalo. When Moshe comes to the oyal, the hibitu achre Moshe. They're looking behind Moshe. Moho yoimrim, and Chazal give us a few good phrases what they were saying about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to stand against the Tzonim for quite a while. Let me just say this, that matter of fact, that there's a sefer which is called brought down Oir Elchonon, about Elchonon Wasserman. Elchonon Wasserman. It's pointed out that it's an amazing thing. People have different ways of dealing with this. But it says about Rabbi Elchonon Wasserman, it says, Chiyuch Alponov Eino Nira Afpam. Would not hear a laugh or see a laugh on the face of Rabbi Elchonon. Kuloi me'utav the COVID rush. His face was completely consumed with COVID rush, with a serious, serious demeanor. Kuloi oimer yikoy vadin sahar. Yikoy vadin sahar. There is a Torah. And he points out a Talmud, very well known Talmud, Reb Chaim Yitzchak Chaikin. Reb Chaim Yitzchak Chaikin says, Me'oilam loy ra'inu al ponov loy schoik v'loy chiyuch Meshech shol ishonim o mechtsa shalamadati bebranovich. I learned in Branovich is 3.5 years. Never in 3.5 years did I see on the face of Rabbi Chonon a schoik or chiyuch. No schoik, period. No schoik. And he goes further and he says, it's based upon, of course, Chazal say, lo yamal odom piv schoik boi lamazeh. He says, he understood, he says, besides the fact that we are in Golus, there's Churban Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine if a person would actually witness Churban Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't just go around laughing? Rav Chonon lived with this idea, what Chazal say, that osol adam lamala schoik piv. So he points out that there was the following situation, he says. This is an amazing thing. It shows, by the way, it shows what midos mean, what character means. Here you see Rav Chonon is such a machmir. He's so strict with himself when it comes to the union of schoik. So he brings the following. You know Rav Chonon visited America? We know about that. Rav Chonon's experiences in America. Kishibiker Rav Chonon ba'America in his daman yomechod, he says, b'msibis rabonim v'nichbodim. Rav Chonon comes to America and he was sitting, he says, at a table, he says, where there was a banquet of rabonim and important people of the community. Litzidoy on the side sat Odom Pliny, a particular person, that was speaking very loudly, and all of a sudden, he cracked a joke, this particular person. It was out of place. No. So all of a sudden, he says, most of the people that were standing around there, they saw, in fact, this was out of place. This man cracked a joke. And all of a sudden, they shooed him and they shunned him away. Rabbi Chonon, he says, turned aside and you saw a half a smile on his face. He says, it's a chesed if someone cracks a joke, that you laugh a little. Says the great Rabbi Chonon, on the one hand, who was so makbid, not at all to get involved in any aspect or any vestige of Schoik v'Kalas Roish, but it was negay at the Kovet Abrius, a half a smile he allowed himself, a little bit of a stretching of the lips. This was a chesed, this is also a mitzvah. And a person has to live in a balance, has to recognize what is exactly the Tzorech Hashem, what does Hashem want from me at this particular time? So he's never extreme to one and to the other, but always to know exactly what does Hashem want from me. You know, Rav Avramsky used to say, the great Rav Avramsky, he says he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim. Chaim Brisker used to say to him, Rav Avramsky, listen, you learned by Rav Chaim for quite a while. Tell us a little bit, what was the personality of Rav Chaim? Was he a calm person? Was he easy to anger? Was he a lively person? What was it? What is the meaning? What type of behavior? How would you describe the personality of Rav Chaim? And Rav Chesed Avramsky says, impossible. Rav Chaim's personality changed from moment to moment to what the Torah wants now. If it's now the time to be happy, so you're happy. If you have to be reserved, he was reserved. The time when it came to speak out seriously, to say what the right thing is, then he would speak out. If the time would be to sit back, he'd sit back. Rav Chaim's personality kept changing from minute to minute. I don't know what his actual essence was. He was that which the Torah demanded. And we can see this idea also by Rav Chonon. Tzad Echad was very careful not to be involved in any area of Schoik v'Kalas Roish. He was very machmer apparently in this inyan, all the way. But yet when there came a time for Kovod Abrius, he allowed himself a little bit of that smile. This is what we see the Hanhogiv Gedolei Yisrael. But we see the message of the Ramchal. Unfortunately, we could not finish the whole perik. We stopped this like Rubik Ekuloi. This for now will be, concludes the season in Ramchal. So we wish the whole Olam deserve to have a healthy and a happy summer, to be able to continue and maybe take some of the lessons that we have studied, something to make us just a little bit better. And even if we're just a little bit better, hopefully that next step will bring us to just one more step to continue. And Be'ez Hashem, summer is approaching. This is now coming into the Hachona, of course, of the Yom HaNoroyim. If you have a little bit of what we have studied here, so we'll be zoichet to be go mechayil al chayil, and to have a healthy summer, to come back again with rejuvenation, and be able to again to start again in our career and building our spiritual muscles and allow ourselves, Bez Hashem, to have a lot of Siyata Dishmai in all of the areas. Mitach Simcha V'Nachash, Shefa Brocha, Tzlocha, Biyaz Gal Tzedek, Memen, Omen.